Whether you're an old hand at the weight loss game, or have, at the very least, been on a diet before, the following scenario may sound all too familiar. Determined to succeed, you vowed to go about slimming down the right way. You stopped eating red meat, cooked egg white only omelets with no shortening in a Teflon pan, removed the skin from chicken, ate your baked potato without butter or sour cream, and consumed lots of pasta. Frozen yogurt, fruit, and sherbet served as dessert. Your breakfast consisted of oatmeal and skim milk, or else granola and a banana. A typical lunch was white meat turkey on a roll and a generous salad. Hold the dressing. And you stuck with your low-fat regimen. You knew it was the right diet because your friends and family congratulated you on your healthy habits. Yet somehow it never felt quite right for you. Nor did it ever work the way you thought it would. You found that you weren't quite satisfied eating this way. You were often hungry and low in energy. And worst of all, permanent significant weight loss proved elusive. You never actually achieved the goals that motivated you to go on a diet in the first place. Here's the good news. Most of you will now find that your frustrations are about to end. I have helped tens of thousands of people who have come to me needing to lose weight and improve their health. And I promise I will help you too. Diets come and go, but what people hope to get from them remains fairly constant. What would you like from a weight loss program? Let your fancy run free. Would you like to be freed from hunger much of the day? Eat until you're pleasantly satisfied and full? Enjoy food so rich that you've never seen them on any other diet? Never have to count calories again? Feel better than you have in years? Do you believe that a man can go from gaining a half pound a week to losing 3.9 pounds a week without significantly altering the number of calories he consumes? Let me introduce you to Harry Kronberg. I want you to pay close attention to his story and try not to give way to disbelief, because these results are real. Harry Kronberg, the 39-year-old manager of a lumber yard, came to me with a heart arrhythmia and a desperate weight problem. He had been chubby even as a child, but now things were out of hand. A few years before, he had gone to a low-fat diet center and had managed to drop from 245 to 185 pounds. Sounds good? But before long, Harry had gained it all back with an added dividend of another 35 pounds. That's right. When Harry came to see me, he tipped the scales at 280 on a 5'6.5" frame. In the previous 35 months, eating a relatively starchy, low-fat diet of approximately 2,100 calories a day, he had gained 70 pounds, exactly 2 pounds a month. Harry started Atkins, radically restricting his intake of carbohydrates while eating freely of meat, fish, fowl, and eggs. Harry was told he could eat as much as he needed to feel satisfied. The calorie count was strikingly similar to what he had been eating on his previous diet. 3 months into his new regimen, he had lost 50.5 pounds, almost 4 pounds a week, and then continued to lose at a steady 3 pounds weekly. His heart symptoms vanished. His total cholesterol level dropped from a mid-range of 207 to a dramatically lower 134, and his triglycerides went from 134 to 31. I'm going to talk to you about the hormone whose name you've heard many times, insulin. Some of the content of this portion of the recording is fairly complex, but I think you ought to listen to it carefully. For many of you, the answers to your battle with the bulge and concerns about long-term health issues are here. Almost everyone knows that insulin is given to people with a certain kind of diabetes to help control their blood sugar levels when their own supplies become depleted or insufficient. Insulin is one of the most powerful and efficient substances that the body uses to control the use, distribution, and storage of energy. At its most basic, insulin is the control hormone for glucose, a basic form of sugar. So listen up. Your body is an energy machine, never resting, always metabolically active, and it powers its operations mainly through the use of glucose in the blood, which is why glucose is interchangeably called blood sugar. The body must maintain a certain level of glucose in the blood at all times. So when there is no carbohydrate food source to make glucose, the liver will actually convert protein to glucose. Remarkably, even on a prolonged total fast, a healthy body can maintain its glucose level within a rather narrow normal range. As a general rule, of course, the body obtains its principal supply of fuel from food. What happens to a meal? You sit down at the table and consume a three-course dinner. Somewhere between chewing and excreting, your body absorbs certain substances from your food, mostly across the surface of your small intestine. From the carbohydrate you eat, your body will absorb sugars, all of which are, or quickly and easily become, glucose. From fat, it absorbs glycerol and fatty acids. And from protein, it absorbs amino acids, the building blocks of all cells. Obviously, if you eat a lot of carbohydrate, you'll end up with a lot of glucose in your blood. Sounds good, doesn't it? All that energy coursing through your system. Eat sugar, starches, and fruits, and you're going to get those blood sugar levels up fast, aren't you? If you love candy bars, perhaps you're saying, "That's great. The more I eat, the more energy I'll have." Alas, a bad mistake. You see, the human body evolved, and primitive humans thrived as hunter-gatherers who subsisted primarily on meat, fish, vegetables, fruit, whole grains and seeds, and nuts. Candy bars were few and far between. The human body is used to dealing with unrefined foods as they occur in nature. Consequently, your body's capacity to deal with an excess of processed foods is pretty poor, which is why our 21st century way of eating so often gets us into trouble. If you don't understand this yet, let's look at what insulin and the other energy-controlling hormones do when you eat. Consuming carbohydrates impacts your blood sugar levels. The amount of carbs, and the type, will determine how your blood sugar responds. For example, a food full of refined sugar and white flour, such as a jelly donut, will raise blood sugar much more dramatically than does a salad. To be useful to your body, blood sugar has to be transported to your cells. Think of insulin as the barge that transports glucose from your blood to your cells. Once it reaches the cells, three things can happen to that glucose. It can be mobilized for immediate energy, it can be converted into glycogen for later use as a source of energy, or it can be stored as fat. Let's delve in a little deeper. Insulin is manufactured in a part of your pancreas. As the sugar level in your blood goes up, the pancreas releases insulin to move the sugar out of the blood. It then transports the blood sugar to your body's cells for their energy needs. But, as we previously mentioned, when these needs are met, the liver converts excess glucose into glycogen, which is stored in the liver and muscles, where it is readily available for energy use. Once all the glycogen storage areas are filled, the body has to do something with the excess glucose. And here is the big revelation. The liver converts the remaining glucose to fat, which becomes the storage tanks of fat on your belly, thighs, buttocks, and elsewhere. That's why insulin is called the fat-producing hormone. Since fat is much more efficient and has more capacity to store energy than glucose, we can store a lot more fat in our bodies than glucose. That, my friends, results in obesity. And by the way, the main chemical constituent of all this fat is triglyceride, the very same triglyceride that in your blood can be a risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Insulin is a pretty efficient worker. If it were not, your cells could not get enough glucose, their basic fuel, and blood glucose levels would rise while the cells searched for other fuels. First, for protein in your muscles and organs, and then for fat in your fat stores. That's why people with poorly controlled insulin-deficient diabetes can lose weight when no insulin is present. And that's why a person on a low-calorie diet may lose lean body mass. This shouldn't happen on Atkins, where sufficient calories and protein are consumed to meet the body's energy needs. On the other hand, excessive carbohydrate intake results in high amounts of blood sugar and may, in turn, overstimulate insulin production. When this happens, it causes a drop in blood sugar, robbing the body of energy for the cells. The result of the process is destabilized blood sugar levels, quite possibly causing fatigue, brain fog, shakiness, and headaches. The body attempts to adjust by liberating counter-regulatory hormones, such as adrenaline, to raise the glucose level. But another stiff dose of insulin can overpower the effects of those hormones. Fortunately for most of us, this glucose balancing act takes place automatically, and our blood sugar stays in a fairly narrow, normal range. But for some, the bodily insult of massive insulin release to deal with massive blood glucose levels has been going on for years, causing the glucose-regulating mechanism in the body to break down, initiating unstable blood sugar and eventually diabetes. Hyperinsulinism is the condition that results from too much insulin being produced by your body. It's easy to see how this might happen when you realize that there's a relationship between the kinds of foods you eat and the amount of insulin in your bloodstream. Foods rich in carbohydrates, especially sugar, honey, milk, and fruit, which contain simple sugars, and refined carbohydrates such as flour, white rice, and potato starch, are readily absorbed through the stomach, so they speedily convert to glucose. When these foods are eaten in excess, they require a lot of insulin for transport. Foods made of protein and fat, on the other hand, require little or no insulin. Protein in excess converts to glucose in the liver and requires some insulin to transport it to the cells. Fat requires essentially none. And what happens when there is too much insulin? As an overweight person becomes heavier, insulin's effectiveness may decline. The cells become desensitized to the action of insulin, so it can no longer effectively transport glucose to them. This is known in medical circles as insulin resistance, which quickly leads to hyperinsulinism. Numerous studies have shown that insulin resistance is more prevalent among the obese, although even some individuals who appear slim and healthy may actually be insulin resistant. What appears to happen is that the insulin receptors on the surfaces of the body's cells are blocked, which in turn prevents glucose from reaching the cells for energy use. That's one reason overweight individuals may be tired much of the time. When insulin is ineffective in taking glucose into the cells, the liver converts more and more glucose to stored fat. Your body is, in fact, becoming a fat-producing machine instead of an efficient energy-producing machine. Your body's hormonal system is now in desperate straits. At this point, insulin is being secreted more and more frequently to deal with high blood sugar levels, and it is doing its job less and less effectively, which makes you crave sweets and carbs, which compounds the problem in a vicious cycle. In time, even the insulin receptors that convert glucose to fat start getting worn out, forecasting diabetes. Ah, but you came to this book for weight loss. All right, let's make crystal clear the connection between high insulin levels and excess weight. I'm about to recount a horror story that might be headlined, "Innocent Human is Turned Upon by Own Hormones." But we did it to ourselves, you know. Remember, no culture in world history has ever consumed even a fraction of the sugar we 21st century Westerners do. Perhaps you've been overweight for a long time. Once, there was a stage in the progress of your metabolic disease when you could lose weight pretty easily, even if you sharply cut your caloric intake. You'd gain the pounds back, but at least at the price of hunger, you could shed them again. Then, although your weight continued to yo-yo up and down, you began to notice that the yo-yo went up easily, but getting it to fall down again was harder and harder. Now, maybe you're past even that stage. You simply cannot drop pounds. If you are, insulin has really closed the trap. The pancreas, faced with your abuse of simple and refined carbohydrates, has become so efficient at secreting insulin that just a touch of blood sugar will release a flood. In response to high insulin levels, your body has become intent on storing fat by the process I've explained. Group A responders will recognize the role that excess insulin plays in preventing weight loss by giving you an ongoing sensation of hunger that can be satisfied only by constant overeating. Now that you've reached this understanding of the metabolic basis of being overweight, imagine going into your doctor's office after diligently eating a low-fat diet that was quite possibly high in sugar and carbs. And imagine being told, "Well, if you just had a little more willpower." Sad, isn't it? Willpower is not the issue. To lose weight, you're going to need the controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach offered by this recording. You will also need the other two legs of the Atkins triad: regular exercise and nutritional supplementation. I know I've produced a really heart-sinking analysis of how and why fat accumulates on your body. So what do you do now? You adjust the insulin spigot. And so far as weight loss goes, the answer lies in two entwined concepts: burning fat and controlling carbohydrates, which we will explore later in this recording.